Well, hello, advanced listeners. We are in the month of September, and we are looking at our health article for this month. We have been looking at tips for a good night's sleep. Now, many people struggle with sleep in their life, getting the right amount of hours for what they're doing in their life. And yesterday we learned a lot about that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. And joining with me again, I have two great panelists. To my left, I have...
Hi, everyone. It's Albert.
Albert, good to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back. And I'm really excited about wrapping this article up.
Yeah, now yesterday we talked a lot about good night's sleep, whether we have it, don't have it. What was something that you learned from yesterday?
Well, I would have to say that, you know, PMR is something new to me. It represents or stands for progressive muscle relaxation. It's a technique where you tense certain parts of the muscle of your body, and then you relax as you breathe in and out. And you mentioned how it is practiced in yoga, and this makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm really excited to actually try it tonight.
There you go. You're going to have to let us know how you got on with that,
yeah,
and if it helps you relax. Well, to my right, I have...
Hi, it's Lois here again. Glad to be joining you. Now it's September 30th, so it's really nice to continue with this article. And I was going to mention something that you said I could. There, our host, Amanda, I was just going to mention on the deck. We see on the deck, focus on good times. Breathe deeply and get a massage. Now, this is something you're going to have to learn to remember in English. Breathe has an E on the end. So B-R-E-A-T-H-E. And breath, the E is absent. And it is one of the easiest spelling mistakes in the English language. And most of us still ask ourselves, okay, I want to say breathe. Does that have an E on the end or doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I try to remember breathe, I just remember that it ends in the. And that helps me.
Good. Well, that's a good tip for our listeners to remember. Breathe and breath, right? And that is difficult because they are written quite similarly, but then they're pronounced quite differently, right? Well, yesterday we did learn a lot about how to relax if you're not sleeping well. We talked about imagery, and imagery is a technique used where people envision pleasant thoughts or something nice, thoughts or an image, perhaps being on the beach or up in the mountains, to stop them from feeling more anxious. We also talked about deep breathing, and Albert mentioned PMR, which can be used to help you relax. We also talked about massage and how massage can help you relax as well. I think, Lois, you mentioned a foot spa being very useful for you. And there are many other tips that may help you, especially if you just have sporadic insomnia. That means on and off. If you have chronic insomnia, then we do advise you to seek professional help. Go see a doctor so that they can help you, because some of these techniques may not work for you. It might be more difficult for your body to relax. So why don't we get started with looking at some tips today in our first column. So if you have your magazine open, turn to page 43 in your advanced magazine, or in your electronic device, join us as we look at our first reading for today.
Here are some tips on how to get a good night's sleep. Find a portfolio of ways to help you relax. It's what works for you, says Taylor. Some nights one thing won't work and another will. Use the bedroom as a stimulus for sleep. No reading in bed. No talking to your spouse about other things, Taylor says. The linkage between the bedroom and sleep gets broken by all the other things people are doing in the bedroom. Change your mind about sleep. Develop realistic beliefs, he says. If you don't get 8 hours, maybe your body doesn't need 8 hours. Meditate. Research published in JAMA Internal Medicine found middle-aged and older adults who practiced mindful meditation showed less insomnia, depression, and fatigue. Practice deep breathing throughout the day. Then when it's bedtime, you know how to take those deep diaphragmatic breaths.
Alright, well, we start off this paragraph looking at some tips on how to get a good night's sleep. And what's the first tip we have, Lois?
Well, it says, find a portfolio of ways to help you relax. It's what works for you, says Taylor. Some nights one thing won't work and another will.
Now, here we use portfolio in an interesting way. What do we mean by that here, Lois?
Well, portfolio means kind of you have something filed away through experience here.
Mm-hmm.
So you know yourself, you know what works for you, and maybe you got some tips from people, but you've practiced it out on yourself.
Okay, good. And so we want to know what works for you, yourself. And I think it's interesting that some nights one thing won't work and another will.
Right. And it's always good to have like backups or, you know, other sets of ideas that you can try and approach this. I mean, I really like the way they use portfolio here. Sometimes I feel like when people think or use the word portfolio, they're thinking of like a briefcase full of files.
One thing I know that I think of right away that I would pull out of my portfolio would be white noise. And white noise means like sometimes for me, even having the air conditioner on and it's not really blowing that cold of air or cool of air, just that sound is considered white noise. Or if I put a fan on, and it really helps. And it's like everything else is blocked out and I have what you would call this white noise in my room, and it actually lets me go to sleep and stay asleep.
Right.
So to confirm, white noise is like indiscriminate noise that just goes on in the background?
It's usually what people think of as a consistent noise that goes on in the background.
Okay.
So it's almost like, I always compare it to like a humming. It's there, it's going to stay there, and until you wake up in the morning and shut it off, it's there.
Maybe like on an airplane you hear just a very nice humming in the background. Okay,
that's
cool.
Right.
Yeah, actually, they do make noise machines with that specifically on there. Like, I remember one of my roommates had a noise machine, had waterfalls, it had the beach, you know, the waves, it had white noise as well. Just whatever would work for somebody. And I think that's a portfolio. I know for myself, if I'm having trouble falling asleep, oftentimes I try to use imagery, like we mentioned yesterday. If that's not working, then I need to pull out something else, right?
Right.
Perhaps deep breathing. Or having a nice drink, you know, a hot drink. I like chamomile tea.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that doesn't have caffeine in it. I think it's all very important that we all try a different portfolio.
Right, right. And, you know, it's interesting, even with babies and toddlers, this will work. Because I just had a friend of mine who's recently become a grandmother of a little girl, and she's a little bit different than her grandson. And she found that what works for this little girl is they have like a little waterfall in their backyard, and she takes her out there and just holds her close to her chest and lets the baby hear this waterfall in the background, and she always falls asleep.
Wow.
So there you go.
There you go. All right. Well, what is the next tip we learn? I think we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, Albert, but we learn a little bit more about it. Something to do with how we should assign the bedroom.
Well, we should use the bedroom as a stimulus for sleep. Now, a stimulus is something that causes growth or activity. Sometimes chemists will use this to promote growth in certain things like bacteria. But yeah, so, you know, the bedroom, you should just delegate it as a sleeping area and resting area only.
You know, I found this to be very different from what I've heard before, because a lot of people read in bed. It says no reading in bed. I know many people that do that. No talking to your spouse about other things. I'm guilty of that myself. But this was a good reminder. And of course, your smartphone, you know, taking your smartphone and maybe using it as an alarm. But of course, first you need to check your messages or your Facebook.
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah,
you're turning on your brain.
It's so interesting. It says the linkage between the bedroom and sleep gets broken by all the other things people are doing in the bedroom. Here, linkage, we're talking about a connection. So the connection is when our brain thinks sleep, or when our brain or our eyes see the bedroom, we're like, oh, time for sleep. But now with looking at your phone or reading, that is broken. Yeah. So,
yeah, nothing to do with my, you know, my iPad, my phone, whatever goes into bed with me or even goes close to my nightside table. No, because I just know for me, it's going to keep me awake.
Right. It's a stimulus. It keeps you awake. All right. Well, we also learned that you need to change your mind about sleep. In other words, we need to develop realistic beliefs. And this is according to Daniel Taylor, who is a sleep researcher and professor. He says that we need to remember that if we don't get 8 hours sleep, well, that's okay, because maybe your body doesn't need 8 hours of sleep. I think yesterday we discussed how many hours we need. Everybody's different, and you just need to find out what works for you. What makes you feel better when you wake up in the morning? Is it 6.5 or is it 8?
Right. I know in the month of either May or June, it came out too about changing your bed sheets, and they said you should change your bed sheets and pillowcases every 5 to 7 days. And they said that would also help with your sleep.
Mm.
And not only that, it actually helps with your complexion too.
Mm.
So some people suffer from, you know, a lot of breakouts on their skin, acne or whatever. Apparently if you change your pillowcases an awful lot, so maybe every night or every other night, that's supposed to help too with that. So you're getting some benefits with all this advice we're receiving on how to get better sleep.
Well, my mom would be happy about that. She changed our sheets every week, and I used to think, oh, that's such a lot of trouble, but now I see science is backing her up.
Yeah, I do it too. Every 5 to 7 days, I change the sheets.
There you go. It's a good habit. Well, what else do we learn that could be helpful for us to get better sleep, Albert?
Well, you can meditate. You can practice meditation. And, you know, it helped older adults or middle-aged to older adults. And it also showed, like, you know, they had less insomnia, depression, and fatigue. Now, fatigue is just extreme tiredness. You know, you're just worn out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody usually says something like something about their bones. What is it, the expression we use? Weary bones, or I'm like tired to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have a lot of sayings.
So that means you're very weary.
Mm, very tired.
Or bone tired. Yes.
Yeah, fatigue would be a little bit stronger than being tired.
Yes.
And
then
your whole body is weary, right? And so we see that this is good. I think also because it helps you to not think about the stressors in your life. You're not thinking about, oh, what do I have to do tomorrow? What haven't I done today? What did I forget to do today? Rather, you're thinking, you're not thinking about any of those things, or you're focusing on something more pleasant and encouraging. So that's why this is helpful, and it reduces your anxiety and your stress.
Right, and when you mention that, it just trigger something in my brain that you're supposed to put like a pen and a notepad beside your bed, and if you think of something that you know this is going to keep me awake, you write it down and then you forget it, because it's written down, you'll see it in the morning, and it's a reminder so that you can make your mind and your thoughts and everything just relax.
And I would like to say that this is something that we need to exercise. We need to actively exercise this, because anxious and worrisome thoughts can try to take over. So you really do need to exercise that and be very intentional about that. Well, we did talk a little bit about this yesterday, about deep breathing, but it says practice deep breathing throughout the day. So not just when you're not sleeping well. Actually take time, perhaps in your morning, or at lunchtime, also in the evening, practicing this deep breathing. Then when it's bedtime, you know how to take deep diaphragmatic breaths. Whew, just saying that word made me take a deep breath. Well, what does it mean? It has to do with your diaphragm. That is the muscle that separates the chest from the stomach. And this actually can hold a lot of stress. It also supports your body very well. And so when we're taking these deep breaths, it will release the stress and anxiety that we're holding in our body. In fact, we see that there's a little sidebar at the bottom. Albert, could you read that for us?
Practice deep breathing. This can be as simple as, says Levi Rothschild, as making your inhale longer than your exhale. For instance, inhale to the count of six, so you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then exhale to the count of four.
Okay, so this is a little bit different to what we mentioned yesterday with the progressive muscle relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
That breathing, you're actually tightening your muscles intentionally and then releasing them. This is more focused on the rhythm of your breathing. So you're taking the time to breathe in for six counts and then to exhale for four counts.
Right, and I like how this, you can add it to your portfolio and you can change it up in case, you know, one is not really working for tonight.
Exactly. Well, why don't we find out a few more tips as we look at our next reading for today.
Relax your body, one section at a time. Get heavy, yoga instructor Debbie Levy Rothschild says. Start at the crown of the head and begin to review all the body parts as they sink deeper into the mattress. Be sure to roll the tongue in the mouth a bit. Believe it or not, you can keep body tension in your lips, jaw, and even your tongue. Bore yourself. Shauna Seed of Dallas thinks of a famous person for every letter of the alphabet, that sort of thing. If I'm not asleep in 20 minutes or so, I get up and read a book. If you can't sleep, don't panic. People have weird thoughts about sleep. If I don't sleep, I won't be able to do my job, and my boss will get mad, and I'll lose my job, Taylor says. Those things don't help you fall asleep. It's the cumulative effects of not being able to sleep that can affect your health. Often, he says, insomnia isn't every night.
Well, listeners, if you're just joining us, we are working on a portfolio of tips to help you get a good night's sleep. And we've already covered quite a few of them, but we learn a little bit more about how to relax your body. Lois, how do we learn to do that?
Well, we're told about get heavy. Okay, so this is from yoga instructor Debbie. Levi Rothschild says, start at the crown of the head and begin to review all the body parts as they sink deeper into the mattress.
Okay, so this is something you would do lying on your mattress, so you're already in bed and then you're trying to remember to...
Yeah, relax right from the very crown of your head, top of your head, to the tips of your toes.
So when they say to review, they just mean to go from the top of your head to your toes?
Right. All your kind of like your body parts. Like I mentioned before, my forehead is relaxed now. My jaw's relaxed. My neck's relaxed. Like, yeah. To kind of like just review that and just make your body, I'm just sinking into this mattress. I'm falling asleep. I really am. And it does work.
So it's actually perhaps your muscles are tense. And so as you're saying it,
yes,
and you're focusing on that area, the muscle relaxes.
Right. Because so many of us go to bed and we really have been either running around outside or running around inside just before we go to bed.
Hmm.
You know, when we maybe don't set an alarm that we should that tells us, you know what, in 30 minutes I got to be heading towards bed.
Right.
We look down and go, oh, it's that time already? And then, so even that makes us feel tense.
Hmm.
Because now we're thinking, oh, it's that time already? Now I'm not going to get the sleep I know I need.
Right. Well, this is another tip to add to the portfolio. So if you're having trouble with some of the other things we've mentioned, you can try this. I find it interesting that we include your mouth and your tongue as well. It says be sure to roll the tongue in the mouth a bit, perhaps to loosen it up. It says believe it or not, you can keep body tension in your lips, your jaw, and even your tongue. I am aware that you can hold it in your jaw. Sometimes you can feel the tension in your jaw and can give you a headache, but I haven't heard of it so much in your tongue or your lips, so that's good to remember that as well. But what do we learn in this next tip, Albert?
Well, bore yourself. You know, you should just, the suggestion is think of a famous person for every letter of the alphabet. So we'll start with A, like Albert Einstein, and then B, Bernard Shaw, and you just continue and continue so forth, and you probably most likely get bored and you fall asleep. But I really like this follow-up, which is if you're not asleep in 20 minutes or so, you know, this person, Shauna, she would get up and read a book. And I feel like that's really good, you know, get up and then do something and go back and try again.
I'm not sure this would work for me because I would think of the famous person and then I would be wondering, what are they up to now? And then I want to get up and Google them and find out what they're up to. So I don't know if that would work for everybody, but I think the idea is a little bit like counting sheep.
Right.
You know, you're just imagining imagery again, but you're imagining or you're using the, you know, recollection of different people to try to bore yourself to sleep.
Yeah,
I would think for me, I'd be thinking of all these comics or comedians, and then I'd be laughing, and then I'd think about the last funny movie I saw them in, and like, you know, Jim Carrey, I love Liar Liar, that movie, and then I'd be thinking about it and starting to laugh. And
well, at least you wouldn't get up and watch the movie. Although that might help, I don't know. But I do like that tip. If you're not falling asleep, you recognize you're not falling asleep, and you go and do something for a bit until you feel your body start to feel heavy and try to go back to sleep again.
Right. This reminds me of a technique my friend did. She had extreme insomnia, right? Mm. And so what happened was she read online, and she tried it out, and it worked. And what happened was she set like 10 five-minute alarms on her phone. And so she would do the first thing, which is like brush her teeth, and then she would go to bed. And then in 5 minutes, the alarm would go off, and she would get up, and she would wash her face, and then she'll go back, and she'll go to bed. And that act of getting up and trying to finish her night routine, changing out of her clothes, you know, flossing and everything, she was like so tired of it. By the end of it, she's like, I'm just so tired.
Wow. So it's like a mind trick.
Yeah, it's a little bit mind trick. She's like getting in bed, she's settling down, and boop, another 5 minutes, and she has to get up and do something else before she's finished.
Interesting. Wow.
Something for our listeners, just in case.
Exactly. Well, they'd
be getting out a hammer and getting those alarm clocks. Bang, bang, bang.
Wait 5 minutes.
Then you start to get anxious about having to buy a new phone.
Yeah.
Well, what should you do if you can't sleep, Lois?
Don't panic. People have weird thoughts about sleep. If I don't sleep, I won't be able to do my job, and my boss will get mad, and I'll lose my job, Taylor says.
Wow.
Those things don't help you fall asleep.
Right. I think it's interesting that we start to spiral, like our thoughts start to spiral out of control, or the anxiety. You know, we go from I can't sleep to I've lost my job. You know, that's quite a bit. And it says it's a cumulative effect. Cumulative means that it's building on top of each other, right?
Yeah, we hear it often in weather reports.
Yeah, well, cumulative weather, meaning what, Lois?
Well, you know, like cumulative clouds, we think. Oh, my goodness, here they come. That means we're going to get rain and thunder and lightning. Yeah, so we'll hear it a lot if you put on the English weather stations.
Right. Well, this cumulative effect of not being able to sleep can affect your health. Often, he says, insomnia isn't every night. And I found that to be true. And in general, I sleep pretty well, but there can be nights where I do struggle to go to sleep. How about yourselves?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this article now, and we're doing it in the afternoon. I actually feel like falling asleep now.
Oh, that's good.
It kind of makes you think that there's a better way of sleeping, and a way that it'll actually make you feel better as a human. I like this health article.
What about you, Albert?
I do as well, and I really like this ending right here where it's like the cumulative effects of health is what will affect you in the long term. You know, while researching for this article, I stumbled across how there was a high school student, unfortunately, he was trying to, he was in this experiment for a science fair to see how long people can stay awake. He lasted for 11 days, nearly 2 weeks, and he passed away.
Right.
So the takeaway from this is, hey, you know, if you lose a night's sleep, don't worry. You know, your body can bounce back and recover. It's really the long, like the marathon, you know, going for the distance that you will be like irreparable damage.
Right, exactly. So keep that in mind. Of course, if you have chronic insomnia, please seek professional help as soon as possible. Well, are there any other tips we'd like to leave our readers with before we finish for today?
Well, I like a warm to hot cup of milk. So I will heat that up for myself on top of the stove, and it really helps me when I'm having a real trouble sleeping.
Do you add honey to it?
No, just drink it that way.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I use this technique for combating jet lag, which is I will eat not as much, so I won't snack and maybe have a light dinner. So after getting back from a country where there's a time zone difference, sometimes I may skip a meal. That's not advisable, but having a light meal, I feel like your body automatically feels like, oh, I'm low on energy, I feel sleepy, you know, I better conserve that energy. It works for me. It might not work for you, but, you know, it's something you can consider.
Well, listeners, we have a lot of tips in this portfolio that we've talked about today, and we really do hope that it has helped you as well. As we see in our title, it says tips for a good night's sleep. And often in English, we say good night, sleep tight. When we say that, it just means sleep well. So we hope that this helps you to sleep well. Please try these. Please let us know whether it's through Facebook or email us and let us know what has worked for you. Perhaps you have some additional tips you would like to add and share with us here at Advanced Magazine. Also, you can check out our QR code at the top of page 42 to see more from our topic talks. And it's been great to have you here today. From Amanda,
Lois,
and Albert.
It's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.